Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. I'm Ian Jessup. And Corey Yelland is not with us today. Corey Yelland got gifted a free trip with accommodation to the cannabis conference in Barcelona, Spain. And so that's great for Corey. She should be back probably, she's there about 10 days, I think, and comes back on, well, a couple of weeks from now. Now, today's guest, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, is a type of cancer that begins in the lymphatic system, which is part of the body's germ-fighting immune system. Our guest today had the disease with a tumor in her chest that was 14 and a half centimeters, which is almost 6 inches. We interviewed her almost 2 years ago after she got a diagnosis of no evidence of disease. And since that time, she has also written a book about her cannabis journey titled Rocky Mountain High Priestess. And joining us from Colorado is Kelly Durick. Kelly, good to talk to you again. How are you? Are you still cancer-free?
Yes, I am cancer-free. I've had checkups over the last few years since I went into remission in January of 2020. I've had some CT scans over the last few years. And so far, all of the CT scans have turned out clear, and I'm still in remission presently.
Fantastic. Do you get scansiety when you have to have a scan?
I do.
With nervousness?
I kind of have doctor-siety. So anytime I have to meet with a doctor, I think it always makes me feel a little anxiety.
Do the doctors know what you have done to relieve yourself of this cancer?
Yes. I always was very upfront about working with cannabis oil, and I never really received a lot of encouragement until I was going through chemotherapy. Then it seemed like using cannabis was more acceptable for the side effects of chemotherapy. Some of the nurses that I worked with seemed a lot more open to other healing benefits of cannabis, but a lot of doctors always seemed to kind of brush it off and didn't really take it that seriously.
Yeah, it's pretty much what we've heard from most people that we've interviewed. And the lucky ones have a doctor who supports them or said, just keep doing what you're doing. Now, Kelly, prior to your diagnosis, what sort of health issues were you experiencing that concerned you?
I didn't have that many. My real symptom was an unusual cough, and I didn't think it was that unusual or strange at first. And my doctor even thought it was bronchitis and just gave me antibiotics for it. But it still was there after I finished my antibiotics. And after it lasted a couple more weeks, I asked the doctor to do more testing because it seemed unusual. And he did some blood work and checked for things like mono or other infections. And of course, nothing came back positive. And after that, I wasn't quite sure what to do, but I was still having this unusual cough that was starting to get uncomfortable. And I finally asked my doctor for a chest x-ray.
So you, when you had the x-ray, is that when they determined that you had this growth in your chest?
Yes. When they did the x-ray, when they got the results back, that's when they found the mass that was in my mediastinal cavity, and it was 14 and a half centimeters big. And, you know, they needed to do a biopsy to see if it was cancerous, but they suspected that it was cancer from the beginning.
So you couldn't feel this mass in your chest at all?
No,
you couldn't sense it?
I really didn't start sensing it until after I had this cough for probably about 3 months. And then I noticed little things like laying on my back, I felt more pressure on my chest, but it really, it wasn't noticeable until after I had the cough for a couple months. And my energy didn't really change right away either. I did start feeling more drained and not my usual energy, probably until right before I got the chest x-ray too, because that's when I also started being a lot more concerned about what it might be.
Now, when they did this chest x-ray and they found this mass, they indicated to you that probably it was cancerous?
Yes.
Now, you remember that day quite vividly, I suspect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What goes through your mind when you get news like that?
Well, it was a surprise. I guess I thought I had a pretty healthy lifestyle, but I did eat some candy. I'll admit, I was a fan of, you know, eating sweets, and I still tried to eat healthy. You know, I was mostly vegetarian. I actually did a lot of my own juicing. So it was a surprise. And I actually, as much as I was scared that I had cancer, I also didn't think that I was going to let it get me. I felt like this wasn't going to be my end. And I just felt like there was hope yet. And I wasn't going to totally give in to thinking the worst.
Yeah, that's a good attitude. Now, when they told you you had cancer, and you said earlier that you underwent chemo, what was that like for you?
Well, it was pretty devastating. And when I found out I had cancer, I was living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I also was doing research along with my cousin's family, because they were thinking of moving to Colorado for their daughter. And so we both started researching more about cannabis, and they were planning on moving to Colorado so that their daughter could start using some THC to help manage and stop her seizures. And I also reached out to the company that my cousin's wife was getting information from. And I asked them about how cannabis could fight cancer, and if there had been any research done that showed how it helped. And I got a lot of good information on how cannabis oil was shown to remove and kill cancer cells and damaged cells, and how it was able to also shrink tumors. So I ended up moving to Colorado from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when I went through chemotherapy, it was after I had worked myself up to taking 1,000 milligrams of cannabis oil a day. And basically the tumor started shrinking, but the dying cancer cells, for some reason, ended up going into my right lung. And when I was on the gram of cannabis oil a day, I noticed that my breathing was getting affected more, and I started feeling just a little bit more uneasy. So I went to urgent care and they gave me a chest x-ray and saw what was going on. And I had to go to the emergency room to get my right lung drained. And I also had fluid in my pericardiac sac. And so I was in the emergency room and I was getting the fluid drained. And that's when they basically said that I maybe had a couple weeks left if I didn't start chemo, because they thought that would kill off more of the cancer cells. And that would help my body. And I decided to do it at that point because I really wasn't sure what would help me the most. And after that was when I started chemotherapy. And I was in Colorado at that time, and I stayed on using a gram a day of cannabis oil to also help me with a lot of the side effects of chemotherapy, too.
How many chemo sessions did you have in total?
I had 5 rounds of chemotherapy altogether.
Okay. And did that impact you physically or mentally in any positive or negative way?
Yes. I was devastated with the chemotherapy. I, at first, had just problems with having an appetite. And I was having extreme discomfort, nauseousness. I was getting migraines. And it was really hard for me to function almost for a couple days after a round of chemotherapy, just because of all of the nauseousness that I felt.
So after you had 5 sessions, did you just decide to discontinue chemo and go on the cannabis oil exclusively?
Yes, I did. Throughout the time, they continued to give me CT scans and also pericardiograms, and they were keeping tabs on all of those things. And in March of 2017, after the 5th round of chemo, I really felt like my body was struggling with the effects from chemo more than the cancer itself. And after I had my last CT scan, the tumor had shrunk down to 5 centimeters. And I really felt like chemo was destroying my body more than helping it at that time. And I was ready to just use cannabis oil and see if it would shrink the tumor and I could go into remission with just that.
Well, when you talked about how much your tumor had regressed, it went from 14 and a half centimeters down to, what did you say, just over five and a half, roughly?
Yes.
Yeah, so you've cut it by more than half. What sort of period would that be? How many months? Any idea?
I started my first round of chemo in September of 2016. And then the last round was in March of 2017. In December, after a test, the tumor had shrunk down in half. So that's why I kind of thought if I did 3 more rounds of chemo, that maybe it would be gone after that, along with taking a gram of cannabis oil a day, because I also stayed consistent with taking a gram every day during that process. And so it was from September to March that it shrunk down to 5 centimeters. With the chemotherapy and the combination of cannabis oil.
But with the side effects you were experiencing from the chemotherapy, you thought that that was more detrimental to you than the cancer itself. So you went exclusively after that to the cannabis oil, and you were taking a gram a day. Were you taking that just orally, or did you use suppositories at all?
At first, I was mainly taking it orally, and I actually was taking a 1-to-1, which had a high amount of CBD and a high amount of THC in it. And after I had some really horrible issues with diarrhea after the rounds of chemotherapy, I was fortunate that the cannabis oil really helped my nauseousness. So I really didn't throw up. And I was grateful for that because of how toxic the chemotherapy drugs are. And having to get them out of your system somehow, it was really hard on my digestive and on my intestinal system. And so I did start using suppositories to also help with some of the damage that was happening due to that part of recovering from chemotherapy.
Yeah, taking it all orally, you must have been stoned quite a lot. I mean, I know what it's like.
Yes, I was definitely flying. And I did increase my dose very rapidly just because of the size of the tumor at first. And when I started to increase my tolerance, I was able to make a schedule for myself so that I could still function throughout the day. I was a single woman living in Colorado with my family at first. But then I also was living in some other houses that I was renting rooms at. And so I did have to consider how I was going to function and even make a living. And so I was able to divide up the doses that I was taking, about 333 milligrams, three times a day. And I increased my tolerance to the point where I could take the first two doses and I could still function pretty well. And I did end up working in the cannabis industry for the company that I was getting my medicine from. And so I actually started commuting from Colorado Springs up to around Fairplay. And it was kind of nice getting a break from the city and working on the grow. I was helping trimming weed. And then I even helped out in the greenhouses with watering and feeding and big leafing the plants. So I really was able to develop this very close connection with the plants that were helping me fight cancer.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. Now tell me about the day you got the all clear, no evidence of disease.
It was probably the best day of my life. And I just felt like I had finished this battle that had been going on for almost four years. And I was kind of in shock. And in a way, I wasn't quite sure if it was real or not. And it was amazing. And I actually kind of wondered what it meant to not have to take that much cannabis oil, because I was so used to being on that high amount for such a long time.
Yeah, what's your daily regimen like now? How much do you take?
Well, I do try to take some oil at night. I've noticed, though, since I've decreased my amount and my tolerance has gone down, sometimes THC actually gives me energy, even if it's an indica. And so it's interesting because I think I'm still trying to find the right dose to work with, because sometimes the oil will keep me up at night and I'll take a large dose of it, but then I will have a little bit of a cannabis oil hangover the next day. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also one of those weird people, if I take it as a suppository, I still get a little high from it too. So I've been kind of experimenting with doing that versus taking it orally and seeing if it still kind of gives me more energy or not.
You just made a very interesting statement, which hit me, about taking cannabis via suppository and still getting high, because that happens to me too. I mean, I take it for an ailment that I've got, and I take it by suppository at night. And then I wake up in the morning and I feel okay. But an hour after I wake up, I think, I'm getting cotton mouth. I feel a bit buzzed. And I thought, and Corey has told me in the past that 90% of people don't get high. I guess, Kelly, you and I are in the 10% that do sometimes get high. It's a strange feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's actually kind of nice. I don't mind it. But yeah, sometimes feeling a little foggy does kind of slow you down in the morning too.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. So you've gone through this battle. You're now clear. You take kind of a maintenance dose every day. And then tell me about the book that you've written, because I think I've got to say thank you very much, because I went on Amazon and saw the book, and you mentioned Cannabis Health Radio, which I've got to say we're extremely pleased with that, and we thank you so much for doing that. Tell us how the book came about.
Well, throughout my healing journey, I did a lot of journaling. I've always been into journaling, and I feel like that helps me process when I'm going through any sort of difficult or stressful situation. And so throughout my whole experience fighting cancer, I was journaling and just documenting some of the bigger experiences that I had. And after I found out I was in remission, I just felt like this story was bubbling inside me. And it took me a little bit to figure out how to start my book. But after I got the inspiration to start it, I really felt like writing the book helped me integrate, and it was a form of therapy, and it was a fun creative process, which cannabis also helped me with. And I just felt like writing my experience gave me different perspectives on that whole healing journey, and some of the things that really helped, and also gave me more awareness to some of the aspects of myself that I thought I needed to heal and become a little bit more aware of. And I even saw some patterns that I was in that really helped me kind of break away from maybe some of the unhealthier ways that I had dealt with stress.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to finish the project from start to finish?
It took me about 2 years.
Yeah, it's always because you go back and you change things and you want to move things around. Yeah, it's an interesting process. Kelly, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again. I think it's fantastic. Now, tell me where people can order your book if they're interested.
Yes.
Rocky Mountain High Priestess.
Yes, Rocky Mountain High Priestess, One Woman's Courageous Healing Journey, Fighting Cancer with Cannabis, is on Amazon. You can order the ebook or the paperback. And then I also have a link tree at kdoring0624. And my name, Kelly Doring, is also on Facebook. And then I have an Instagram, which is at Jane Doe. That's J-A-N-E-D-O 24.
Oh, it's fantastic. Kelly, what would you like to say to folks in conclusion? Even some of those folks who may be somewhat apprehensive about consuming cannabis, particularly for this horrible disease called cancer?
Well, I think that we have to really be our own advocate for our own health and healing. And it's really good to do your research and not just listen to what doctors recommend. I think there's good doctors and nurses, but some doctors, unfortunately, they're just not aware of all of the other ways that you can heal diseases and illnesses with your lifestyle and diet and other alternative ways, like working with cannabis, mm-hmm. and that doctors aren't even informed about our endocannabinoid system. And a lot of them are educated in a very structured way. And so therefore, their approaches and their prescriptions are also very limited in that way. So I think that it's important to research and find all of the information you can before you make such an important decision.
Kelly, wonderful to talk to you again. I wish you all the best and good luck with your book, Rocky Mountain High Priestess. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ian.
Before we go, I want to let our listeners know that you can help us spread the word about the amazing, often life-saving health benefits of cannabis just by sharing the podcast, writing a review, or rating us. We very much appreciate the help of everyone who's done that already. And we really like the 5-star ratings. We'd also like to thank those of you who support the show by making a one-time donation or a monthly donation on our Patreon page, which you can do for as little as $5 a month. That helps to keep us running. You'll find out how to do that on our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Thank you for your support. It means so much to us. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey friends, I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your host of the Cannabis Hangout Podcast, an educational platform to connect with the cannabis community and share personal stories while breaking the stigma of marijuana.
Join us every Sunday at 7 p.m. to gain valuable insight with different perspectives from industry leaders, growers, and medical marijuana patients.
This is a place to learn so much from different angles in the cannabis industry. So tune in while we break it all down.